So today I want us to look a bit into one of the things we mentioned, since we've been looking at this common salvation, make them one as we are one. I want us to zoom into commonwealth. And the reason I want us to zoom into it is so that we can really understand what God has done for us because we have gathered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So because there's, like I said, because we've gathered, we're having fellowship, there is a common salvation amongst us, and, we're fellowshipping with God's presence, we're fellowshipping with God's light, and we're fellowshipping with God's love. That way God introduces us to glory. The glory dimensions, those are very beautiful. A church shouldn't be without the glory of God. It's a sign that God is not there. Do you get? And at times it could be very obvious at times. For example, if the work or the works of the flesh is prevalent, the presence of God is not there. When you see competition everywhere, and everybody wants to be. God cannot, God doesn't strive with men. So when men are striving, God is not there. Like the Babi Barainja, the Lurain Paton, the last man standing should come and call us in heaven. Yeah, he says his spirit will no longer strive with men. It's because men are striving against themselves. And every time it will look as though God is the referee. So now, if you people want to deal with yourselves, I won't strive with you people. And those were the days of Nimrod, when a man would rise up like God. Men were men. They were doing things to themselves. Nimrod is a very amazing person. If you look at who he is in the Bible, for somebody to rise up like God. Like a man that was born water and blood. Yeah. He did a lot of stuff. But that's not even what we're looking into today. And so if a people gather rightly, when they gather to the presence of God, there will be glory in their midst. Yeah, there will be glory in their midst. The glory of God that you read in the Bible, the kabod, the Shekinah glory. That glory that speaks of, that angels follow, like in the book of Isaiah, when he says that his train filled the temple. Now, train, we don't do that again, bridal train. Everybody else, we used to enjoy, train, when they say train, bridal train, it's because you have the little bride, the person getting married, the best, who is best lady? What do they call it now? Because I know they were not calling chief bridesmaid, the best lady. Yes. Best man and best lady. Yeah. Did they change the one for best man? You men, you are not trying. You are not Gen Z enough. Chief bridesmaid, right? Our best lady. That's the male side. I'm still talking of the female side. So flower girl, the woman getting married, the chief bridesmaid or the best lady. Then you now have those extras. So you have maybe like five people that they call them, what do you call those ones? Sorry? The bridesmaid. Like five, Abby? About five. If you have money, you do like 15. Do you get? Then, I think that's all for the ladies now. Yeah. No, Ashoebi don't go inside the church with you now. They also do. Okay. Interesting. So let's imagine you have a train, right? You have a train. And so also on the male side. Now, the use of that is, that train will be useless if the wife-to-be and the husband-to-be, if they are not there. So The reason why Isaiah said his train filled the temple is because he was there. And so the train came with his glory. So when the Lord came into that temple, they didn't have choice. It's like they are like escort. Do you get? So if a person of dignity is going somewhere and he has escort, they would have to follow. They'll go with him. You get, and so whether it's a convoy of 20 cars or 10 cars, you see them passing. We are so much interested in the person that brought the convoy. Because if the person that brought the convoy is not there, the convoy will not be there. You understand? And I wanted to say that even at times, you might have visitation. Okay, don't let us go there. And so, a church is a place where the people of God should fellowship with his presence so that they can see his glory, his glory. One person that can really describe God's presence is Moses. You know, as the children of Israel wanted to enjoy what God can do, Moses was fellowshipping with the presence of God. That was what he was having. And that was why he understood that if they needed to go from somewhere and the presence of God would not go with them, he understood the use of the presence of God. He understood the importance of the presence of God. And that's why he said, you know, forbid me to go if your presence will not go with us. Because he can choose, because he said he wouldn't. He just said, they are good now, that he has forgiven them, that he should go. But he knew that it's not just about God says, go and prosper. He is more interested in, God, are you going to go with me? If you will not go with me, I don't desire such prosperity. Yeah. So that was Moses. The children of Israel were fine with, go and prosper. They are, and it will work. It will work. Now, it takes a lot of intimacy with God to understand that go and prosper, and I am with you. There are two different things. Most people are fine with the blessing. Just do well. It is well with you. But Moses knew that even if there's no blessing attached to his presence is everything. And so even as a people, when we gather, we would have to be very mindful, because we might be fellowshipping with God and prosper, his blessing, and we are not learning to be people of his presence. And we can't get to the kingdom of God without the presence of God. Like we can't get to the point where we are, because if there's no presence, then there is no king in that kingdom. So you can't say there's a kingdom or there's no king in that territory. Because the idea of kingdom is there's a territory and there's a king and there are subjects. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we won't get to kingdom if we don't have the king. There won't be a kingdom except we've made ourselves the kings. And when we do that, God wouldn't strive with us. So we'll build what we want to build, we'll do what we want to do amongst ourselves. And so we can't arrive at the kingdom of God without his presence. You know, imagine a kingdom without a king. You can invade that space. Another sensible kingdom would, even when your king is a child self, is a risk. Not to not talk about when you don't have a king. Now, that was also another thing the children of Israel didn't know that God was their king. When they were asking for Samuel to anoint them another king or a king, they didn't know that. You know, if you quickly understand that, if God has given you a territory and he hasn't appointed, let's assume he hasn't appointed a physical, but he gave you a territory, then it's either suggesting that he is the king. Like he didn't give you any physical, he had always given them judges, prophets. He didn't give them a physical king, and they have kingdom. that was not being overridden by those bad guys. Then he suggests, because a kingdom without a king will be overridden. They will easily take your, they will take your space. And so for them to go to battle, for them to, and that was what David understood. And that was why he was restless. And his first mission when he got is to go get the ark of testimony back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we wouldn't be a people enjoying the kingdom of God. It wouldn't be the kingdom of God if we've not understood, we've not fellowshipped, we've not seen in and out, we've not utilized, we've not, you know, like John said, we've not undoed it, we've not mastered it, we don't understand what it means. A lot of people are strange to God's presence. A lot of people going to church are strange to God's presence. You know, at times you can't even decipher between God's presence and goosebumps. That's where a lot of people are. Like, I mean, the inward emotional satisfaction that you feel when you see when there's a sight before you. The presence of God is so paramount to our gathering. You can even get angry if they are gathering you or you are being gathered and there is no presence. You can agitate. Because that is as good as depriving you of what will get you to experiencing the kingdom of God on earth. And so as a people, we would not deprive ourselves of the presence of God. So it's not because we make it much of his obligation. If we don't gather rightly, it wouldn't be there. That's why it says, if two of you would gather in my name. You know, like I said, it says, keep them by your name. So if you gather to yourself and not... Now, when it says, if two of you would come together and gather in my name, there I am in their midst. Now, it's not, hello, Dupe, hello, Shola. You know, we are gathering in the name of Jesus. We have mentioned your name. No. If we are not gathering, knowing that we are gathering to his presence, like when we gather, we are expecting that he that has brought us together will be there in our midst. He will not be there. So when we don't have, like, I'm going to church, you're coming to church, and I'm not having at the back of my mind amongst everybody that will see that, I will also see God. Then you don't, even if we shout in the name of Jesus 100 times, it will not be there. And so it's not because we said in the name of Jesus that we just have our heart posture as I'm coming. Is that I'm coming to the presence of God, then we find his presence there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So as a people, we have to be gathered. You know, this morning I said, you know, maybe God will give us grace to look in depth into God's presence, God's light, and God's love. Most importantly, maybe God's light and God's presence, most importantly, and perhaps maybe God's love. But today, what I want us to focus on today is the journey, which is from common salvation, when we see ourselves coming together by the blood. We steadfastly continue in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, in prayers. Then we would have mastered those different experiences. Then we come to a point called commonwealth. That's where I want us to look at today, commonwealth. And because we have commonwealth, then there is a kingdom. Because when you say commonwealth, there is citizenship. And when there's citizenship, it means there's a kingdom. People have nationalized themselves to a nation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's what we want to look at today. Commonwealth. And commonwealth is a wealth that is accessible, just as we've used the word common. Is a prosperity. You know, I think it was some weeks back. You know, one of the things you should always know as a sign of divine leadership is that the people under that divine leadership, they prosper. Now, when you have divine leadership and you are prospering, the reason for that prosperity could, and most times, is derived from that divine leadership that God has put you under. And so to say as well, which is, if there's a leadership that is in quote maybe divine, and the people under the leadership are not prospering, it brings a question to the divinity of that leadership. So if, for example, God gives you a people to lead, and so it's God that has given, you must have it at the back of your mind that these people must prosper. That's why I call them bishop of their soul. Humans, though, they are bishop of, that's why they will give account of those souls. It's because under that stream, that's where their prosperity has been tagged. Like a sticky note, like they just put it there. And a lot of people don't also understand this. So you struggle, you labor without not knowing that you receive grace from within to go do exploit.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying to every one of us here, your life is automatically not meant to remain the same when you are under divine leadership. You can take this, like you can even hinge your life on this. Like literally you can say, because it is here, yes, then it is with me.
Yes.
Yeah, that it's that simple. It's that simple. And so when we say commonwealth, we're saying that there is a prosperity that God has put to rest in the midst of a people that he has brought together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, let's quickly read some of the scriptures we've read before, and then we would go into some study just to help us understand the commonwealth of our fellowship. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. We read from verse 32. So on Wednesday, we decided to read Acts because this is a place where God made practical fellowship. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. This was what we looked at on Wednesday. One heart, one soul. And we said, the way God can achieve one heart, one soul, it was mentioned in Acts 2, what they were doing every day. That turned them to what? One heart, one soul. They all came from different parts of the world for Passover. But a miracle happened. Peter preached, and 3,000 out of, we don't know how many of them, they got added to the church. But what they were doing in Acts chapter 2 brought them to this junction where they could say of them that they were now of one heart and one soul. Like I said, we're not sure how many days or how many weeks or years they were together for them to get to this part. It says, neither did anyone say that and like I said, this also was not a miracle. Like, God just looked at them that, how would they not scatter? Let me give them one heart. On my pam, pam. Then everybody received like that. No, they were doing something steadfastly. And when you're doing something steadfastly, most likely you will catch the spirit. Let's go back to chapter 4. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Can you say, great grace was upon them all? Let's move on. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. You know, we also mentioned that God gave them an administrative strength. The apostles were focused on what? Prayer and what? And the word. You know, that was the reason why they also had to set up the deacons, so that they will not be using the spirit of the Holy Ghost to be detecting whether somebody has a need or not. Like, does this person have need or not? Oh God. No, there were people that they knew how to spot someone that is not dressing well. Do you get? And it's not in the wilderness. You know? Yes. It's not God is not telling him to tone down his dressing. His dressing has never been toned. Do you get? So they were, this guy needs something. This guy has a need. This guy has a need. The apostles were focused on, because they were just speaking about the resurrection of Jesus. That was the power they gave to them. The boldness that came on them was not to do this one very well, distribution. No. The power was for them to keep proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus, so that daily people are added to the church. This is not what was adding people to the church. Amen.
Amen.
So the apostles didn't leave prayers and what? And the word to now focus on this strategy. It wasn't even a strategy. This was a necessity. It wasn't a strategy. If none of them was in need, then it's fine. There would just be treasury. And that's why church too would have treasury. Like where we have what we have not used. There's a lot of wisdom in this. Because it's a practical living. These guys, they became practitioners of what we are saying. That's why it's easy for us to see what God was doing with them. It's not difficult. It's not hidden. 36. And Joses, who also was named Barnabas, so they had to give us a name so that you won't say they were just joking with us. At least they didn't mention anybody. But they, so that you can, if you go into history, his children, they will know that they didn't have a land because their great, 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 great grandfather sold it. Imagine if you are from the lineage of Barnabas. You just know, you know what that 25 acres is worth now. And you know real estate, it's actually real. Yeah, it's one of the only assets that I appreciate, interestingly. Like a woman bought a land, we don't even know so many, I saw it on I think on TV or social media. She bought it for 1 million, she was selling it for 90 million. Yeah, she bought the land 1 million. But she was selling the land for 90 million. That's what I can't, what's the mass? Just say plus 89. Don't start doing exponential. Can you get it? Just say plus 89. God just gave her 89 million. Which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's go to Act 2. I just want us to read some of the scriptures. You can start from 32, I think. Actually, we don't have time. Go to 40. Go to that particular place. We don't have time. We're going on a journey. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They had all things in common. And it is all things. Now, one of the things they had was the grace that was at work in them. It says, and great grace was upon all. Like, excluding no one. That's a place you would like to be. Yes. Like, a place where there's no disadvantaged. Yes. You know, I always respect this place that Paul said, we're not a sign unto ourselves. We're a sign unto the... Now, he mentioned it in the context of praying in tongues. Like, I'm not living my life so well so that I can, how will I put it? You can come to a wonder of if there's a special God that is working with me. That's not what God wants for us. Like you're just in awe. Like, is it the same God that is working with this person? No. That's the wonder of the people in the world. That's why I say we're not a sign unto ourselves. A sign is a wonder. We are a wonder to the people in the world. Like, they should be like, if this Jesus is really doing this, then I need to join this. So no one is disadvantaged amongst us. No one. If they truly would have all things in common, then it meant that nobody was disadvantaged. Nobody had a lesser experience. What was going on for them was God evened out everybody. You know, that's what it says. When it says it will meet us at the point of our need, that's also another way to describe great grace that was given to all. Meaning, if your need was this, God was meeting you at par. Nobody, for example, it wasn't as though the least expectation became what God could meet for everybody. Then the one that had the high expectation needs to humble himself. No. The one with mountainous expectation was graciously met. That's what it meant by great grace was given to all. So even the one that had not understood what was happening in their midst, the little expectation he had was met. The ones that they've been with Jesus, nobody had, you know, imagine, you know, when we are gathered as a people, when a new person joins us, and the person is so excited about, oh, see worship, oh my, see. Now, if you have, you just came, that's why you are getting it wrong. You must have, your joy must still be full. Now, his own joy is full at the level of the expectation when it was added. Yeah. Your own expectation could have maybe increased. Now, the reason why you will not go and sit at the back, now, I'm not saying like literally, back as per, I think we have enjoyed what is here. Let the young boys. Now, the reason you will not do that is because you are still experiencing great grace. Yes. It's as though God is still fresh, yes, with you. Even though your expectations are growing. Yes. Now, this is a sign that you are dead in a church when you can see that some people are enjoying and you are not enjoying. Yeah. Because when God brings us together, nobody must. Like, you're not permitted at whatsoever level of expectation. Like, God is not scared that 20 years with these people, I won't know what else to do. Can we look at Psalms 133? I think for a while now, I've really come to understand that if every believer understands the place of the local assembly, 99.9% of the troubles in your life are done. Like, almost all the problems you have, you could have, and that you've had in the past, they are done. And I mean literally, they are done. Behold, how good and what? And how pleasant it is. So you can see that when we are coming, we should be smiling. Yes. Like, kamabusa, like, it's not like you made me laugh. Yes. Like, it is a pleasant, a sweet belly. Yes. I spoke Pidgin and English together. Yes. A sweet belly. Sorry. I said a sweet belly. Sounds strange. Kind of like Hebrew. It's sweet, right? Yes. It says, behold how good. Now, this is an experience. They're like, how good. How pleasant. You know, this feels like joy unspeakable. And the thing is, a lot of us are looking for this after the service. You can see that you are yahoo yahoo. Now, it's not putting any classification here. It's not saying for the ones that are strong, how good and pleasant. Then the ones that are weak, hopefully after the service, it will be how good and pleasant. No. For every one of us. You know, when you know that you are doing something that is sure, you know there's a joy before the attempt. Now, that's what this is. It says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like, now, there are two descriptions here of that feeling. It says, when we gather, it is first of all like the precious ointment on Aaron. That's one. It is also like the dew of Ammon. Those are two different things. It is like the dew of Ammon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So you can see that the blessing in the midst of God's people, it's a forevermore blessing. Like, it is an everlasting blessing, meaning God would always consider that place to be blessed. So he says that when brethren dwell, they come together and they dwell in unity. The first illustration here was that there will be precious ointment from the head of what? Of Aaron. Now, if you go to, you don't need to go there, but if you read either the later part of Exodus and the early part of Leviticus, I mean, the first time Aaron and his sons were anointed, particularly when they were separated and called into the priesthood office. Now, there were a lot of expectations that God wanted of Aaron and his sons. But all of those things, God So aside from the dressing of Aaron, which God needed it to be that way, there were 12 stones on his breastplate. There were his clothes also had specification. You know, just like we looked at the way the ark had specification, the clothing of Aaron also had specification. But after the whole God dressing Aaron up, God told Moses that Moses must anoint Aaron and his children so that they can function. Now, one of the first illustrations that I want to bring, or deduction I want to bring out from there, is Aaron and his children won't be able to function in the priesthood without the oil. Because the requirement was Moses anoint them so that they can function. So it means without the oil, even though if they felt they were called, they wouldn't be able to do. It says, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. But in Psalms, you know, the way Psalms described it, he looked at it from a congregational perspective. He says, when the oil is on Aaron, it will flow. And as students of the Bible, we know that every part that is fitly joined together gets nourished. Yes. So this one expression of great grace. When he says that great grace was given to all, because God poured an enablement on the apostles and they were effective in their own office. Now don't forget, he gave them power to continue to preach the resurrection of Jesus. As that was happening, people were having great grace. So God balanced the prosperity. As the ministers, those that were appointed to come into priesthood, as they received grace to be able ministers, there was also ability that was given to the people to be all that they need to be. And so God is not calling us to a realm of you have nothing. Then the apostles have something. See, the needy state, see, for Peter to cry for boldness so that they might be able to declare, that's their own need. You know, it's just like when they say technical skill, soft skill. Peter was crying for boldness skill, because that's one of the skill an apostle needs to declare the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as much as their own cry was that God will give them boldness so that they will be able minister. That was the grace they needed. That was the power they needed. But that wasn't just happening. As God was making the man, Peter, John, able ministers, God was also making the people able people. That is commonwealth. That, see, when we are gathered and when we are truly gathered. See, when you say prosperity is in the house, it simply means everybody is able to do what God has called them to do. Like I said, we are not a sign unto. So it's not this role, they are prospering. Then this role here, they're like, whatsoever God is doing in that side, God should even try and do small here.
Hmm.
You know, there's no time. I was actually, first of all, going to do like a long teaching on grace from the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. Maybe we'll try that some other time. But there's a connection with that word grace that was introduced into your own life by the reason of you accepting Jesus. There's a connection with that grace and the grace that was given to all. Bible says you are saved by grace, right? So, that you have come to salvation, it means a type of grace. For example, the grace to stop sinning was given to you. Or the ability to stop sinning. The ability to now desire the life of God, which was not in it. It's not like you locked the door and you threw the key away. Then when you now give your life to Christ, you now went to pick the key. No, it wasn't there. And so, when you were quickened, you now had desires, you know, for the things of God. So that's what it means by you were saved by grace. It means the things that you couldn't do before, you are now able to do them. It's not like you chose not to, or you postponed them like me anytime. You know, a lot of people always say, I don't have time for church. It's not, they don't have, there's no time and there's no desire. Actually, there's no provision. So it's not like, when you say, the things of church, I don't have that time. I don't have that time. No, it's not as though if you have the time, you will still be able to. You know, when somebody says the things I used to do, I do them no more. That great change that happened to you is that the things that you didn't have power to do before, you've now been given grace to do them. And that's why we always say grace is not an occasion for sin. Grace is actually the enablement not to. So grace is not what we interact with after. Grace is your paddy in the midst of everything. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift. It is the gift of God. So there's a connection with the grace we have received as individuals and the grace that we enjoy in the fellowship. So when he says, when we all come together, let one come with a what? A hymn, a psalm. Now, the fellowship being beautiful is the expression of the graces that are coming together. You know, I always remember there's a gathering that I was, every time I attended it a while ago, there's just always a thing about that gathering. Like God, if you're coming weak before, maybe you're not so strong, you're maybe thinking left and right. By the time you're leaving that gathering, all things are always set. It was always a beautiful gathering I always look forward to. But later on, I knew that the gathering would be more beautiful if me too I'm strong. At least they didn't put the requirement of strong on my brother. I mean, I should be coming weak. Like, I'm not saying weak, that I mean the week I planned. Like, I'm very weak in week you. I want to be weak this week. Okay, movies all true. This one, then I'm not coming weak. I don't have any psalm. I don't have any hymn. I don't have any word of exhortation. But after I leave the building, I was like, brother Ishe. now you guys. But there was another expectation that when me too I'm coming, it's not when they are coming. When me too I'm coming, which psalm is in my heart this morning? No? Okay, this is a song. They might not sing your song, but you might hear the tune, or you might not hear the tune. But you know that you've come. It's the posture of the heart. You know you have. Now, when he says come with a hymn, he's not saying that, they'll give all of us a mic. Now, if our gathering was that small in number, maybe that can happen. But it's not practical that we are a large congregation and you would, you know, maybe everybody. No, we can't even read it out. We don't know what God can do in the service. You know, everybody's voices will be amplified. You know, some will, you know, one with him, Sam. Now, this is that individual enablement that is coming together. And so what we are saying is the quorum of graces will produce great grace for everybody. Now, your grace is measure. Your grace, my grace. Graces are measured. Can you look for that place? There is a measure of grace that is given unto every man. Graces are measured. But when we come together, the blessing that we enjoy is that everybody is now connected to what we call great grace. Now, great grace means abundant grace. So if for any reason you have, if your grace is not sufficient for the task that you might think you have, at that portal, you have more than enough. So if the one coming from maybe the non-Jew experience and the one that maybe the Gentile experience and the one coming from, they're coming from two separate graces. That's why the one coming from the Jew, he cannot eat without washing his hands. They didn't give him that grace. Most likely, he would not sit down and also eat with the Gentiles. He's not in his own theology. So there's no, he sees that as a sin. But the one that came from maybe the uncircumcised, he can do and undo. It says, but to each one of us, grace was what? Given according to the what? To the measure of Christ's gift. But like I said, we don't have time to look at Ephesians 1 and 2, basically. So we would quickly look at... okay, let's look at Ephesians 2:19. I think that's the ending part of what I would like to have taught around the graces over our lives as individuals. It says, now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Can you say fellow citizens? So like I said, in Commonwealth, there's citizenship. See, if you're a believer and you've not stopped church prostitution, I think that's what they call it. You don't understand anything about the church. You know, the way you should be feeling is, before you go somewhere, the question is like, is, do I have access to their commonwealth? See, for you to even have the effrontery that, I said, go to that church, I'll be blessed. You're a thief. Yeah. It's just like you go to another country on visiting visa, and you are intending to go and use their health insurance. They'll just say, wow, deportation, wow. They'll just vehicle you down. So it's the effrontery, and it's because the person is unwise. We know how we comport ourselves when you are in another man's country. Like, for example, when I visited Sweden, I didn't even ride bike. You know why? I feel if I jump someone now, back on the police station, won't Sherry, I don't have a lawyer here. Before then, they will now say the bill to treat this person is 15,000 euros. So the imagination of doing stuff, being creative. In my mama's house, I will be creative. Yeah. No, I literally shut down every adventurous spirit. Like, I shut it down. Like, this is not where you should be adventurous. Like, I didn't greet too much. There was a guy that met me in Germany. He said, say, my brother, I don't know you. You can't say we are fellow in Germany. Say, my brother, I know the way Nigerians are usually, what's oyaya in English? Eh? Yes, Nigerians. See, when Nigerians see themselves, they know themselves. It's just that you might throw away face. Because where I'm going to, and I was traveling alone. And I had not even traveled that far alone. First time I traveled far was to Ghana. And I was literally prostrating to my boss. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Well, that was my first time on an aircraft. So the second time on my international trip, I was alone. I wouldn't say I was bold. I was like, hey. I was just thinking different things. I was like, this guy that is not smiling. It's my own visa. He will not throw away. And so the guy greeted me in Germany. I said, I don't know you, sir. Say, my brother. I said, you are not my brother. Before they will now say that, immigration will now say, this guy said, you guys are brothers. I told them I was going somewhere. They didn't say, you guys are going to look for a brother. So when I got to to the country, I was literally just all by myself. I was a Nigerian there. I created Nigeria for myself. I was eating Nigerian food. I didn't want to go and have a running stomach that would require that. I can't walk into a pharmacy. Here, I can easily just maybe say, I'm having a running stomach. They would say, no, where's your medical? Where's prescription? I said, no, Umba. I ate what I knew I could eat. You understand? So, because I knew I wasn't a fellow there. As much as they usually say, Swedish people, they are very hospitable, but they don't invite you into their houses. Meaning they would love upon you to the point of their door. Their hospitality did not reach that level. They feel you are not entitled to their home. They are so hard. Like you would think they just sent you, like you are their package. They will love upon you. They will like you. They will tell you great stuffs. There was only one person that did a very strange thing that invited us into our home. And she was not even Swedish. She married a Swedish person. So she's an American. So she has literally capitalized that man's home. So she's the one that brings non-Swedish people. So she brought us. As I was looking at the man, he wasn't happy seeing us. He was just doing as if, because it's against their culture. It's not part of their culture. Because they know you are not part. That's the way they think. Even people that have migrated and they have PR or whatever, they don't still see. Because they just feel like we are not fellows. You understand? And so if you're thinking you can just attend a church, even if I would visit a church, I would know fully well that is their blessing. God didn't polarize his allocation. Oh, Shola might be here tomorrow. Let's just put some more here in case he strolls in. No, that's not the way God works. And that's why even if you're in the wrong place, God will still want you to go to the right place. Because there's no use being in the wrong place. It's just a waste of time. He says, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the what? Of the household. So there's membership in church. You can see that epistles will deal with a lot of irregularity in the soul. Oh, they are no church members anymore. No. They are church members. They are fellow citizens. It's so that by the time we get to the table where they are distributing the commonwealth, we know that you are entitled to it. Verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You see a lot of the word expression, presence, love, unity. Here God has given them oneness. They've now become a holy temple for an habitation for God. And so great grace was given to everyone. Great grace. You know, this morning I say to every one of us that there's great grace for every one of us here. It's not so much about a prayer. The Bible teaches it. What I'm even saying is that you will be able to rightly connect yourself. You know, like I said, divine leadership is an indictment when you're not experiencing prosperity. The reason why they call it divine leadership is so that everything godly can stem through it to you. But the call this morning is, we can see that there is an enablement that God puts in the midst of his people. That, see, your expectation cannot scare God. Your expectation can shock the man of God if he wants to be shocked. Like, ah, wow, you're thinking this big. But God has given abundant grace. And he knows that as much and as many people that he will bring together in that fold, they will not be less. You understand? That's the way God sets it up. You know, it's God that sets up the house. Quickly, I want us to look at three types of graces that we enjoy in abundance when you look at commonwealth. In commonwealth, we are proposed to be all that God wants us to be. And like I said, it's because we are gathered rightly, we are fellowshipping, koinonia is in our midst. We are sharing all things in common. We are fellowshipping steadfastly. Right? In prayers, in breaking of bread, in fellowship, in the apostles' doctrine. You know, the first type of grace that God situates in our midst as commonwealth is the enabling grace. When I say the enabling grace is the things you can't do. You are empowered to do them. Now, I remember Kemi's testimony, right? Okay, she didn't share it. It was a different meeting. She shared it, you know. Where you could just think you can't earn more than this. And God enables your heart to think beyond that salary that you think you can earn. Like if somebody gave you plus one, you rubber band on the floor. Because you felt all your needs in life do not pass the token. The enabling grace. There is a grace that God puts in our midst that tells the other fellow that you can do this. You can do this. You can do. That's enabling. It means without those that were without strength, God gives them strength to do. When we gather, we don't remain weak. We don't remain disabled. We might come with different types of disablement. Oh, I can't live a life of God. Oh, I can't sustain marriage. I can't do this. But when we come, God gives the enabling grace. There is the enabling grace in our midst. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. I think we'll run now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. Now, when someone says, I know how, it means I have the enabling grace to behave in this circumstance. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be what? To be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. Can we all read this together?
I can do all things through
So you can see where this verse came from. It says, in all circumstances, I have the power on how to do, how to behave, how to be. I am not deficient regardless of the circumstance. He says, I can do all things. The power to do is locked up in that commonwealth. See, when we gather and you find any area in your life that you are not able to do, you can latch onto the commonwealth and say, because I am here, this thing that I don't have the grace to do, I am now able to do it. That's what I'm saying. The enabling grace is one of the things we draw out from that commonwealth. The things God might have put in your heart, I'm like, oh, how shall these things be? The reason you are saying, I can do all things, it's not just a confession. The reason why you are saying that is because you have, when it says, I know how. He didn't just quote this because there was nothing. So it wasn't positive confession for Paul. So it wasn't out of place that, oh, I can do all things through Christ. No, no. He looked within and he saw graces. Yeah. Ah, this is a grace to behave when there's nothing. This is a grace to behave when, okpo. This is a grace to behave when it's half. This is a grace to behave when there's nothing. That's why he now said, I can do all things. So you are not left disabled. You can do all things. You know, one of the graces I personally have enjoyed being in this house is this. Like, literally, it's now where my strength stops. Like, I literally tell myself, you now have to figure out which one is major or minor. Because you can literally do everything. Like, everything literally will prosper in your hand. Yeah. You know, there was a time in my life that my phone, I was almost scared of, because every strange number is a new deal. Like every, it's not that I don't even regard the phone. Like every new number was just one person in a strange place saying, I heard that you can do this. I heard you can do this. And I know very well that 10 years ago, before I joined myself here, I knew I can't do all things. And that was why I was where I was. And I remember then when an opportunity to take me out of that place came, I said, no, I'm not going, because I can't do. He said, I'll leave this place now and come and work in a startup. That was my first ever startup experience. He said, what was that? What are they starting up? We are here. We have been started already. Where are we going to again? And then I was earning, let me tell you, after tax. Like, after tax, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. Actually, that's all they gave me. I didn't negotiate it. He said, Gideon, he called me my middle name. When somebody calls your middle name, he's sending you back home. I said, don't worry. I did all the negotiation. I was in front of the ED. I was saying, no, this is how much I want to collect. Yeah, this one. You that we have your salary for you. It was my first job. And so there, I had read about negotiation tactics, blah, blah, blah. If I knew, I shouldn't have disturbed. At some point, I even felt as though, I think I didn't even pass the exam. Because I was like, what was all this rubbish? I read so well. I prepared so that my excellence can at least show. They didn't allow you to show. The DMD now called me after the whole excellence. It was as if for them, Bobo, you're the jabo. Because they didn't tell me the result and all of that. But finally, they called me to the DMD's office and said, and you know when somebody is relating with you as your daddy? Forget all the suit you're wearing. Shomamuti. Okay. It's mommy. It's mommy's business. Which one is this one now? We came for a job. That's how they reduce the money. How is mommy? How is daddy? How is them? How your sister in this one go? Has she graduated? Wow. After the old drama. And I said, I learned you want to collect, listen. Ah, no, we can't give you that. This is what we'll give you. Say you call daddy at home. Ah! I felt so... I said, no, I won't call him. I'll collect it. So I always tell people that I didn't negotiate my first salary. I was given. They gave it to me. But while I was there, you know, I saw life there. Everything I could dream of. That was where I mentioned, you know, one of my boys said, Silaul, you know, you will grow like this in your career. You go, like, maybe now after 15 years, you know, you now have official car, you know. Yeah. Because you don't have you don't have the grace to do anything other than that. That's what some people call comfort zone. You don't want to do any other thing. You don't want to be challenged because you know you can't. Challenge. Ah. Let you challenge there. No. You can't. So you stay in the zone where it's predictable. You don't want to see any challenge. You don't want to see any challenge. Nothing should challenge you. So I stayed there and I was there trying to enjoy. And I didn't see life outside. That was even there. And the environment itself numbed the external environment. Like, what are they doing there? They're not doing anything, no. And literally, they were even saying InterSwitch was not doing anything. Who does not know that InterSwitch is doing something? Now, that's how the mediocre thinks. What are they doing in UK? Nothing, there's nothing there. They will tell you that there's nothing happening everywhere. That's what some people are facing. You know, you just tell yourself that nothing much is happening outside. You're good. And so that opportunity came. Even though the opportunity came, it was so gracious. Because, I wasn't using LinkedIn. And so somebody reached out on LinkedIn to me. The picture that the person even used was so unassuming. By that time, they had finished school. These folks that were running a startup. Interesting, one of them is the owner of Paystack. We own the Paystack, right? Yeah. So the second one reached out to me. I said, I didn't know where they found me. That's always the interesting thing. But I always also know that God prepares you for the next season. That was one thing I knew then. So I was doing one pet project then that was helping me with a skill. And then somehow, when you know you don't have skill, you don't go to where they give people job, where they have skill. So I wasn't going to LinkedIn. What am I looking for there? I didn't go to LinkedIn to find job. And so somehow I just said, let me check my message. So I saw this message was already 1 month old. But I still didn't respond. Then I just spoke to one of my managers. And I told him that, LinkedIn. Can you there? What's in LinkedIn? it was that bad. So I was almost going to rubbish the message. And that was my turning point. That was my breakthrough, honestly. And so by that time, I was also in church. That was when I just joined. And there was one thing that was in my heart, which was, I can do all things. I don't know what this is leading to, but wherever it will lead me to, I can do it. So I started engaging. But speaking to my bosses, they were just giving me different discouragement. Now, at some point, they even said, we'll set up a new department for you. Innovation department, I'll be able to innovate. See, my friend, if God doesn't help you, you will get to heaven and go, check when your man should read. Yeah, you won't know people can prosper in a way if God doesn't help your exposure at times. They almost literally didn't want me to take any other opportunity. They didn't even care where it was. Startup, what are you doing there? Nothing. They would just fail after 1 month. And so, I took the opportunity. And I was just telling myself, I can do this thing. I can do this thing. I don't know what it is. It was even a very challenging one for me. It wasn't a ride, ride over or something like you ride through. No, walk through. It wasn't a walk through. It was challenging. The first one was as though I was in Egypt. I felt as if I was a non-entity. But it was God helping my heart. Because it wasn't just even my bosses that already had that heart. I also had the heart. And I had a very gracious manager then. He didn't, He didn't even look for me to manifest. He wanted me to de-manifest first. Then I can now be a new person. So I said, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. That's the enabling grace. So you shouldn't be here and you are having a sense that you can't do something God has asked you to do. You can do everything. See, like I said, the place to now even help yourself is which one is now minor and major. Because by the time you can bring out the best offspring from a strange animal, you can do anything. That was what happened to Jacob. Where they will even think you can't produce, he produced there. That's the spirit that enables. So they can put him in a dry land. He will get it done again. Can you say, I can do all things,
do all things
through Christ who strengthens me? You know, we'll stop here. There's no time. Amen. No, you can have your seat, please. You know, I want us to know that we're on a journey to being a people that God consistently has an appointment here. We've not just had a sincerity now on our heart that we want to gather and want God to come. We've taken ourselves through the rudiments of what brings him down. When he comes down, what do we see? How should we arrange ourselves? How should my brother see himself? Or how should I see my brother? This is really going to be a legacy for us. Some of us would even have to mirror this in our lives to our colleagues. I just literally tell you, you've just been here. What's here? And you shouldn't be far-fetched. You know, there's no other church. No, no. You would be able to answer all men. Because God has not just gathered us. He's also helped us to understand why and how he has gathered us. The Lord bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen.